know, even though we live in the natural realm, the Word tells us that our fight is spiritual. And so many times we have a tendency to want to stay stuck in a natural realm, or certain things that we even sense or see, we're like, so we have a tendency to like, oh man, you know, we have a tendency to turn our heads to it. And one of the things I want to bring revelation tonight about a couple of things that's very, very important, because of this tendency that the devil likes to blind us. You know, every one of us has been deceived by the devil. Amen? There isn't a person in this room that can outwit the devil. Nobody in this room can outwit the devil. I'm going to tell you that right now. The only one that can outwit him is the Holy Spirit. So without relationship with the Holy Spirit, you're going to get deceived and go in cycles and go through the same old garbage over and over and over. And one of the things that we don't want is deception. Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. That's how he operates. He's always operated that way. He doesn't change. Hello? He doesn't change. He uses the same tactics. Different places, different people. Hello? Hallelujah. Would you turn to the book of Revelation chapter 12? I'm going to share some things about some experiences that I have had and some realities of manifestations in the natural realm from the Spirit. And in Revelation chapter 12, in verse 1, now it says that, and a great sign, now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Now I want you to understand something. The Word of God is past, present, and future. Because the Word is omnipresent. Omnipresent means past, present, and future. Does everybody understand that? When God speaks, He can be referring to something from past, present, or future. That's why you got to have the Holy Spirit to discern what He's speaking to you even right now, what it refers to. Is everybody with me? That's why a lot of people get bound, because they can't, without relationship with the Holy Spirit, they don't know whether God is speaking of past, present, or future. Is everybody all right? Okay. And it says here now, a great sign appeared in heaven. Heaven represents the spiritual realm. Is everybody with me? Now the Bible says in chapter 1, in Genesis 1, in verse 1, it says that the heavens were made first, then the natural. Is everybody with me? So all the spiritual hosts were made first, then all the matter and the natural was made second. And it says here, now a great sign appeared in the heavens in the spirit realm, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. And I'm going to share something with you about something in the spirit realm, something that God was doing. Heaven represents the spiritual realm, doesn't it? Now the Word tells us also, I'm going to go into another area, which is a little deeper than what we're reading right here. Because the Bible tells us that a woman, or she, is represented as wisdom. Wisdom, God's wisdom, is a representation of a female. In fact, the Bible says, cry out to her. Does everybody grab hold of her? Is everybody with me? You turn to Proverbs and look up where it talks about wisdom, God's wisdom. He represents it as a female, a woman clothed with the sun, clothed with the glory of God, and with the moon under her feet. Now understand this, the moon is the light, lesser light of the sun, isn't it? So it was talking about darkness under her feet. In other words, Satan was under her what? Feet. Why? Because the brighter light, she was clothed with the glory of God, right? So what was happening is God's wisdom was coming in. Something was coming in from the spirit realm into the natural realm. Is everybody with me? The woman was the wisdom of God. God was performing an act of grace. He was performing an act of grace. Something that He was sending in. Mercy is that God considers. When you cry out for mercy of God, it means that you're trying to get God to consider you. Grace is Him already considered you and putting the action, the redemption, the rescue in action, whatever it is for you. So mercy represents God considering you. Grace is God putting it in action to get you or do something on your behalf. Is everybody with me? So we see here that now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Heaven was a spiritual realm. The woman was the wisdom of God. God was performing an act of grace. All right? The lesser light was Satan under her feet, or the powers of darkness. Now, the woman also represents that which was to come. Something in the arena of, he was talking about Israel. Okay, the woman was a representation of Israel. So we see in the spirit realm that something was starting to happen. God was beginning to do something. He was sending his wisdom, something that he was going to perform from the spirit realm. Now you got to understand, is Satan a spirit? Amen. It says here, verse 2, then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. What was she doing? She was carrying something, wasn't she? In the spirit realm, she was carrying something from God called grace. You understand it? This is in the spirit realm now. Trying to bring it from the spirit realm into the what? Natural realm. Amen? And another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, where in heaven? What's heaven mean? Spiritual realm. And another sign, and behold a what? Great, fiery, red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. So we see that the serpent, the powers of darkness, Satan's kingdom, was already fighting, trying to prevent God from sending grace into the natural realm. Why? Because God is omnipresent. He is past, present, and future, isn't he? That means he already saw what was going to happen to mankind. He was already planning on doing it. Because see, let me share something with you, very important. God was already here before you and I were even created. Jesus already came through this whole realm. When you begin to understand the dimensions of God, the multi-dimensions, he was already here. The Bible says that you and I were predestined, not only predestined, for what? Wait a minute, how can we be predestined if something wasn't already? So it was already put into action. Jesus already came through here and already did what he had to do. And then you and I were brought forth. Why? Because he says you and I were thought of before even creation. He already knew what you were going to go through. Did he choose what you were going to go through? No, you did. But he knew what you were going to choose to do. Hello? So he's always ahead of you trying to rescue you in every area. He's already been here. Verse 4. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven. Now, he's talking about the dragon, right? This is known as Lucifer. Lucifer was one of the major archangels. Lucifer, Gabriel, and Michael. Michael was a warrior. Gabriel was a messenger. Lucifer was a praise and worship leader of the universe for God Almighty. And Lucifer was in charge of a third of the angels. Same thing with Michael and Gabriel. Is everybody with me? Okay, so that's why Lucifer, when he got removed, who became Satan, took a third of the angels with him. Now remember, this fight already started in the spirit realm. He was trying to resist something that God was trying to do. So he threw his tail, drew a third of the stars. Stars represent the angels of heaven. And threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. So God did not, God was trying to bring something from the from the spirit realm and in the natural realm, and Satan was trying to stop it. In verse 5, she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was what? Caught up to God and his throne. So we know that this had happened, didn't it? So understand, something was going on in the spirit realm, and then Jesus came in through the woman, didn't he? But it started off in the spirit realm. You see, the Bible tells us about calling those things that are not as though they are. That's how you get, what do you think prophecy is? Prophecy is calling those things that are not as though they are. You have the power of your tongue for life and death. You have the power to curse and the power to bring life. That's why so many people mess up their lives. They stay in those 12-step meetings and keep saying, hi, I'm an addict, and never get free. Because they don't realize about the power of the tongue. The Bible says that you have the power of the tongue. Hi, I'm no good. Look at how many labels have been put on mankind. Man, you're diagnosed with DDDAAABBB. You're schizo, mental, and everything else. All of these labels that the world puts on people, and they go, yeah. And they walk around that way. Oh. They're waiting to get triggered. Oh, my God. You know? And that's not how it is. We need to break that stuff off of our life because we are kings. That's why Jesus' name is King of Kings, because you're the kings, right? Jesus give you, you're a part of a kingdom that has dominion over the world. Everything has been handed to me and you. And my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Okay, then the women fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 and 60 days. Okay, in verse 7. And war broke out where? In heaven. In the spirit realm, right? Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the dragon, the great dragon, was cast out, the serpent of old. Hello, does everybody say the serpent of old? Called the what? Devil and Satan. Who what? Deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. In other words, he was cast out of the natural realm. Now, right now, I want you to understand that Satan was cast out of the throne room of God, first of all. Where God dwells in the heavenlies, Satan was removed from there. Satan is the only place he can go right now, unless God calls him up to his throne room. He cannot go beyond the atmosphere. This is his domain. This is it. He goes from in the middle of the earth throughout the atmosphere here. That's why he goes up in what we call the heavenlies, right? That's what our principalities are, angels of Satan. So he can't go anywhere else unless God allows him to come up to his throne room and he calls him up there. But this is where he's at. So Satan was removed from the throne room of God, placed in this arena. The next place that he's going to be removed from is the spirit realm and put into the natural realm where all mankind is going to see him as he is. But he's going to possess, actually what's going to do, he's going to put on flesh. There's going to be a man that's going to die and he's going to stay dead and he's going to put on that man's flesh, and that will be Satan coming into it, because God is going to make him come from the spirit realm into the natural realm. He's going to make him, so he's got to put on a body. Okay? And that will be in mid-tribulation. But we're not teaching about trib tonight. I'm going to So we got to understand, now listen. The woman, which is also a representation of Israel, the 12 stars in the garland represent the 12 tribes of Israel. She was carrying the promise of redemption. The child was known as the promise of redemption. Remember when the priest saw Jesus, he said, the Christ has come, not my redeemer. He called him my redeemer, this baby that he was holding up. Now Lucifer, as Satan, was resisting the plan of God, wasn't he? But he was known as the serpent of old, the serpent of old. Turn to Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He was what? More cunning. Like I share with you over and over and over, the serpent, devil, Satan, can outwit you in a second. It doesn't take much. He was created with wisdom. Does everybody understand that? You can read Isaiah and Ezekiel. God gave him wisdom. And the Bible says he was the most cunning, which means subtle. Did you ever notice that you did something, you do, oh man, why didn't I realize this before? Because the serpent got in. And he said to the, he what? He said, hello. He said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, you may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now she had a conversation with the serpent, didn't she? Now the serpent didn't touch her, did he? What did he do? He spoke to her. In other words, he was trying to deceive her. Does everybody got it? He was trying to what? Deceive her. Now let me share with you, what is a serpent? A serpent is a crawling reptile. But at this period of time, he was upright. The serpent was upright because the Lord cursed him and made him crawl. Hello? So he was upright. The serpents are also known as snakes, aren't they? Amen? It says the serpent was more cunning than any beast or animal that God created. He entered the garden of God. Now understand that God put a place for Adam to dwell. But even the serpent was in the garden, wasn't he? Because of his previous position. He entered the garden of the Lord's prime possession, creation of man. The Lord's prime possession was you. So Adam, he made in his image and his likeness, didn't he? But the serpent had the taste of vengeance, revenge, jealousy and rage held in the body of a serpent, Lucifer. Because you got to remember, he lost his position. He was very hateful now. He wanted his position back, didn't he? So he was in this body of a serpent filled with vengeance, filled with hatred, filled with cunning, filled with deception. See, he could not do anything. He could not have any power over anything. So the only way that he would be able to try to get back his position is by manipulation and lying. By manipulation and what? Lying. So he was trying to get his possession back, wasn't he? And the possession of his office. He was full of what? Rage, hatred, jealousy. Now God expressed himself through all of creation. God was expressing himself. In fact, the Bible says that the glory of the Lord is all over the earth, isn't it? So God expressed himself through even his creation. And the serpent hated even God's creation. He hated everything and anything to do with God, no matter what it was. His whole purpose was to come, steal, kill, and what? Destroy. But remember, he didn't have any power yet until he outwitted Adam, didn't he? So the only way that he was going to get in position is to be manipulative, deceptive, and a liar. And the first thing that happened was communication. See, he couldn't touch no one, could he? But he could speak. I always tell people he's nothing but an ant with a big megaphone, you know? But he's wisdom. He's got wisdom. He's got power. He's an angel. God did not remove those things from him, did he? Stay right there and go to Genesis, back up to Genesis 2. In verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Compatible to him. Or comparable, yeah. And out of the ground the Lord will what? God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. Now, I'm going to share with you something very strange. Adam called the animals. The Lord brought them, right? And Adam called the animals, and he named them, didn't he? Now, I want you to understand something, that in that period of time and in that realm, because people think it's strange about the serpent, I truly believe that there was an inner communication with all of God's creation. In fact, many people have been taken to heaven, and I was taken in the spirit one day and brought to the garden. And in the garden, the flowers were expressing a character. Everything was giving off life. It was though that they were singing. In fact, they can prove scientifically that even flowers and certain things let off a certain tone. All creation lets off some sort of a tone. In fact, every one of you is a special note to God. He knows exactly who you are. You are a special note. And even with the animals, so all of these, so here's Adam, and he's naming the animals. Now, I don't know if they said, hey, what's happening? Thanks for that name or not, but I'm going to tell you something. I had an animal talk to me one time. Truly, a horse talked to me one day, and it wasn't Mr. Ed. But if a donkey can talk in the Bible, so God can use anyone, right? But I really believe that that period of time when creation, when God's glory was over the earth and the Lord had restored the earth, I really believe that when Adam called forth the animals, that there was a communication. It said the Lord didn't want them to be alone, did he? What, are you going to have an animal that can't communicate with you? That would be alone, wouldn't it? So I really believe that the serpent was possessed, or possibly Satan put on the form of a serpent that was upright. Is everybody with me? It's very possible, isn't it? Amen? So he was in the garden because there was animals in the garden. It says that the Lord brought the animals to him and he named them all, even serpents. But they were upright then. It was different. They probably had conversations and whatever. Now, keep going. So Adam gave, verse 20, so Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. In other words, someone of his stature. But he was still communicating with all of the animals. I mean, how did they get in there? You think he just whistled them in? Hey, come on. Amen. He called them in. Why? Didn't he name them? He called them. Now go to Genesis 3, in verse 13. Now we know that the serpent deceived Eve, didn't she? And Eve deceived her husband Adam. So everything changed. So the Lord was bringing judgment or correction. And in verse 13, the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me. Hello, the serpent what? Deceived me. And I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are what?
Cursed.
You are what?
Cursed.
More than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. In other words, of all of God's creations, what's cursed the most?
Snakes.
Does everybody understand this? Snakes are serpents. They are cursed more than any animal on this planet. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Good. And he said, on your belly you shall what? Go. So they were standing upright, weren't they? And you shall eat dust. What are you made of? Hallelujah. All the days of your life. And I will put what?
Amen.
That means hatred. between you and the what?
Woman.
And between your seed and her seed. In other words, there's going to be hatred to anyone who becomes a what?
Believer.
Where do you think they're after? They're after the body of Christ. They're after the believers, aren't they? Now, he shall bruise your head. Who shall bruise his head? Jesus shall bruise the head of the serpent, won't he? And you shall bruise his heel. That was the day of death on the cross. Amen. He bruised his head. But he already beat him already in the wilderness, didn't he? So the serpent or snakes is cursed on his belly, eat dust. Before the curse was given, remember the serpent was upright, right? Today, there are many poisonous snakes out there, isn't there? Very many poisonous snakes. They are life-threatening. I hear about people getting bit with snakes. They're called ass, cobras, snakes, vipers, whatever. They are instruments of temptation, deception, and devastation to mankind. I'm going to share some things about it, things about snakes. You may think this is a strange teaching, and it is. Because too many people are deceived. The snakes are the most cursed animal on this earth. Does everybody understand that? They are cursed. They represent the serpent. So wherever there's anything that is cursed, a cursed item means it draws demonic activity. It means Satan has a will, a choice, and permission to possess or infiltrate that animal. Does everybody understand that? Okay. In fact, I've been here reading this book about a testimony of this witch doctor, which is very, very powerful, who was actually a witch doctor, one of Satan's right-hand men, who has actually been in hell. And this guy used to go to the ocean, and the ocean would open for him, and he'd walk underneath the sea. He was a witch doctor. And he shared about 25,000 demons that were in him. 25,000 demons that were in him. When he was brought up in a family of witch doctors. And they used to transmeditate. They could turn themselves into alligator. He was able to turn himself into an animal. I know this sounds kind of strange, but you got to understand the angelic power. And there wasn't many. And he was one of the only humans that went down into hell. And one day in this book, it's powerful. One day he was boasting to the demons, and he said, "I'm the only human that's come down to hell." And the demon said, "No, there was one other." And he said, "Well, I want to know who he is." And they said, "Every time we mention his name, hell shakes for 3 weeks." Of course, we know who that was, right? Jesus. Said hell shakes for 3 weeks every time we mention his name, so they won't mention his name. But eventually this guy got saved and is out serving the Lord powerfully right now. In fact, there's testimony of Jacques Cousteau, who was the deep sea dude, who went in the arena of the Bermuda Triangle. And when they went deep in the Bermuda Triangle, as they got to the bottom, he heard screams and yelling and torment. It freaked him out. He almost stopped doing diving from that day forth. Why? Because he was near. You got to understand, at Satan's kingdom, there are ports through the world. And there are places. That's why so many things happen in the Bermuda Triangle and everywhere else. So one of his major ports is in the Iraq area in Babylon. Why? Because it has to do with oil. What's the god of this world? Money. Amen? So anyways, I'm not going to get on all of that. But I just want to share with you about the serpent representing snakes and so forth. You know, think about it. When Jesus cast out the 2,000 demons out of that dude, it was called Legion, and he cast them into the pigs. Even the pigs didn't want them demons. They went and drowned themselves. The Bible says when a demon leaves a man, what does he do? He searches, tries to find rest, and comes back because he claims your body is his home. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 10. Is everybody there? How many of you have all had a dream about snakes? Amen. It was a demonic attack. Amen. You know what they did? They planted corruptible seeds in you. And you got to learn how to curse those corruptible seeds. Command them to wither and die and break and loose yourself from those corruptible seeds, or those serpents will have access to you. In verse 10. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Acacia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. He's talking about false prophets. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder. For Satan himself does what? Transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, whose ministers? Satan's ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Wow. Now, Satan cannot take possession of a human. He cannot take possession of a human. Does everybody understand that? I'm talking about they can't transform themselves. It doesn't mean that they can't enter an individual and possess them. They can. That's where a lot of religion and garbage are from. They're righteous ministers, but yet they are not declaring the total truth, are they? So that means there's a possession in there. There's a presence known as the spirit of error. Because it's not bringing people freedom. It's bringing them into what? Bondage. Amen? So there's a difference. How is that? Well, those are Satan's ministers turning themselves into ministers of righteousness. But they don't even know that they're doing it. Listen, all religions in the world, except for the body of Christ, I don't care what it is, whether it's either pagan or it's either truth. It's either the followings of Christ Jesus or the followings of Satan. There is no in-between. There is only one truth. That's it. One truth. Remember, out of all the pagan religions and everything, no one has ever spoke about their God going to hell. Because their God never left hell. He's in there. He's in there now. Amen? Because they were worshiping idols. They were worshiping statues. They were worshiping... I mean, think about what's going on in the world. People are starving to death because they're worshiping animals. They think it's their grandmother. Don't kill it. We'll starve to death first. They let the animals roam around and eat their meals, and they starve to death. Amen? So we know that even Satan can turn himself into, well, the Bible tells us about the fallen angels that put on flesh and went into women. Hello? And they got cast into... Amen. They got cast into hell. They're chained, getting ready for judgment. So maybe Satan can't turn himself into a human because he knows he would get put away right away, but who says he can't turn himself into an animal? Hello? That's why the snakes, or what we call serpents, are the most cursed in the world, out of God's all creation. Think about it. There isn't too many people that don't fear a snake right away unless they've been playing with them for a while. Did you ever hear about a bunch of religions that they play with the snakes and they drink cyanide? You know, you talk to the kids a year later and they say, "Where's your mommy? She's dead. Where's your daddy? He's dead too." Why? They either got bit or died from the cyanide. That's tempting God. They take the scriptures out of context. Why? Because the spirit of error or the serpent. You know, and I share this because it's so important, because I've got so many experiences about snakes. It's going to blow your mind, and I want to try and get as many as I can in here so you get a revelation about snakes. And we need to know these things, because you're going to be going into places. You need to bind a strong one before you enter. There's a lot of people who have been playing with snakes for a long time. They have no idea what they've imparted in you. When I had my encounter with the Lord, what had happened with me is a serpent came out of me and manifested in the natural realm. and my 80-pound Doberman dog began to fight it. And I was hearing this hissing, rattling sound, and I didn't know. When I looked there, and I saw this long, black, dark serpent snake trying to fight my dog, and my dog's head's moving supernaturally back and forth. And I looked to the Lord, because he was in front of me, and I said, what do I do? And the next thing I know, my arm went towards the serpent and said, from the love of God, I curse you, serpent, you Satan. And that serpent curled up and moved back. And the Lord said, that came out of you. And I thought, whoa. Now this thing came out of me and manifested in the natural realm. And there were times when I would pray for people and whatever, and a snake would manifest in the natural realm. There were times when snakes would manifest, and I knew exactly who it came from and what sickness it was. You can ask Mom. She was there. There were times when I would chase that snake. There was one time a snake come out of a cupboard, and I knew who it came from. Because there was a woman we were praying for that was sick, and that came out of her and was left in our house. And I was putting praise and worship on it, and the thing manifested in the natural. I was trying to work with some music and putting, and I went chasing that thing. And I grabbed a towel because I didn't want to touch it. Amen. And it went into Mom's stove, and I grabbed its tail. And the towel slipped off. I said, well, hallelujah, and I grabbed it anyways. And I started pulling this thing, and we were fighting and fighting. And the Lord said to me, behead it, and I beheaded it. I said, whoa. He said, that's one less that Satan's demons can't get in and possess. Now, you may think that's crazy, but I'm telling you, when I see snakes, I know exactly what's what. I went away a couple weeks ago. Right, David? David went to my house, went in the back, and there was a snake trying to get in my office door. Those things come on my property. They know. I call them right out. I say, Satan, I tell them. They start booking. They know I'm going to behead them. I don't play no games with snakes. No, I'm not going to go to the zoo and cut all their heads off. But you know what? I know there's times when there's struggles, and I know that there's a snake on the property. I could go on and on and on and tell you powerful revelations about snakes. And one time my wife and I, we had gotten saved. It was about 2 weeks afterwards. It was about 2 weeks afterwards I got saved. And her and I went to go see a couple that was married that we knew. And to witness to them. And we walked in the house, and they had this huge aquarium. And there was this huge snake in there. Now my wife was, she didn't know too much. She was, you know, she wasn't filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost yet. And was getting ready to happen. So I look at that thing, I'm going, oh Lord. You know. So I began to bind the powers of darkness and so forth, applying the blood of Jesus. And so my wife says, oh, when did you get a snake? You know, and all this stuff. I'm like, oh, man, don't get that thing. So she goes over to the snake, and they said, would you like to hold her? I'm going, oh, my God, no, Lord, don't do that. So they pulled the snake up, and it's on my friend's wife's shoulder and slithering all over the place. And I'm binding this thing in the spirit. I'm rakaraba sataki. So they said to my wife, would you like to hold it? I'm going, oh, poco toro. So my wife goes to grab the snake. The snake goes in a ball real fast and turns, froze. Froze. You could take this thing and beat it off of a board. This thing froze up, and the Lord said to me, because it knew the anointing. I said, Lord. So I knew why he let it happen now. I mean, you could take this thing like a frisbee and throw it across. It'd bounce off the wall. It was froze stiff. I thought it was. So they said, what did you do to my snake? What did you do to my snake? They're saying this. So my wife hands them the snake back. They put it back in the aquarium. This thing was still stiff, man. And I would look at it every once in a while. I was like, whoa. Because I was concerned this thing was going to bite my wife because, you know, lack of knowledge. And we left and we called and said, hey, how's your snake? Man, it's still solid. What'd you guys do to my snake? And, you know, then later on, I guess the demon came back or whatever, but that thing was stiff as a board. It was froze, literally froze. because of the snake. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Genesis 6. Genesis chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. In verses 1 through 4, Genesis chapter 6. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God here are known as angels, saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves and all whom they chose. So these angels put on flesh, came into the natural realm. Okay, these are known as fallen angels. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Okay. Now, there were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God came where? Into the daughters of men, they bore what? Children of men. Children to them. Those were the mighty men who were the old men of renown. You can get a tape. We have demons, which will explain all of this about how they came to pass. So we see that these angels, these fallen angels, put on flesh, didn't they? Amen? And they got chained. And we'll go to there. Go to Jude 6. Or Jude 5, something like that. Hallelujah. Please turn the tape over. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Yeah, go ahead. And Jude verse 6, would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Jude verse 6. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the day for the judgment of the great day. Does everybody see that? These angels are known as fallen angels who put on flesh and went into women and produced offsprings. So these angels had the ability to put on flesh, didn't they? Amen? But they don't know more, because if they do, they'll get bound instantly. The only ones that can put on flesh are the angels of the Lord, but Satan's angels cannot. Now, Satan's angels are principalities and powers of darkness and wickedness in heavenly places. Angels do not possess people. Demons do. Because angels have bodies. Demons do not. A demon is a disembodied spirit. And we have a teaching called Demons that will bring you more understanding on that. Hello. Go to Psalm 58. So if the pigs didn't want those demons, but the snakes do, hello. Why? Because they're the most cursed, aren't they? They're the most cursed animal. In Psalm 58. So next time you go see a snake, you're going to go pet one, bind that thing first, and then behead it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, they come on my property, they know it. Listen, one time the Lord told me, and everybody's heard this story over and over, and I got to tell you. One time the Lord told me to dress up as Moses, and I had the staff. Okay, I had the staff. And on the bottom of the staff was painted, about 2 feet of it was solid blue. So I told Sister Letha, she brought me the staff. I asked her, her roommate had it. And her roommate would always have trouble. Man, she'd be up and down all around. And she'd be sick, this, that, whatever. She was always tormented. So I used the staff for Halloween. No, I didn't practice Halloween. Hello, the Lord told me to dress up as Moses, to bless and put Bibles in their bags and pray for them. So after that event, that staff was laying down. And I walked by the staff, and the thing just moved in the spirit. And I thought, whoa. And I couldn't take any chances, so I commanded the snake to come out. I commanded Satan to come out of that staff. course, at first, because I was a baby in Christ, I thought, man, I got to be crazy. So I walked by it again, and it did it again. So I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you, serpent, to come out of that staff and leave my house. I went to open the front door, and there was a serpent and a snake right on my front door, all colorful and everything. So when I saw Sister Letha, I said, man, you know, I got to tell you something. I said, I cast a serpent out of that staff. She said, was it red and this, that, and whatever? I said, yeah. She goes, well, underneath that painting, underneath the blue, there's a picture of one painted on it. Hello? Why? Because that staff was known as a cursed item. Accursed items allow serpents to be in them, even though it is an inanimate object. Hello? Those are called accursed items. That's why logos, clothes, what do? They draw demonic activity. People don't realize it. Just because they don't see it, that serpent is there. Is there. Some of us have been handed down things. Look at the dragon. What's a dragon? A dragon is known as a flying serpent in the Bible. It's known as a flying serpent. All of these logos that people don't realize. You know, they walk around with bar logos on them. Hello. You know, why do you think it says food and spirits? They might as well just erase the word spirits and put food and demons. It's real simple, so everybody would know. Hallelujah. Verse 1. Do you indeed speak righteousness, you silent ones? Do you judge uprightly, you sons of men? No, in heart you work wickedness. You weigh out the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a what? Serpent. They are like the deaf cobra that stops its ear, which will not heed the voice of charmers, charming ever so skillfully. So we see here that the serpent has poison that comes out of its mouth. I'm going to tell you something else. One time the Lord sent me to the hospital to pray for this woman that was dying. She was in a gay relationship. And she repented and so forth. But she was still dying. And I'm praying for her, and one of her friends came up. She had the staff and the spirit. She looked to me like a witch doctor, but she was a drug dealer. Same thing. Drug dealers are witch doctors. And, you know, even though they're dead, well, man, I don't use, I just sell. Good, you're still a witch doctor. You're going to hell. So anyways, this woman came up, and here's this woman in front of me that I've been praying for her, so I just stepped back, and the woman came up and touched her. And when the woman touched her in the bed, the woman in the bed went, ugh! I thought, whoa. And I thought, well, man, maybe I just better tell her to quit touching this person because I'm praying for her. So she moved back, and then she went and touched her again to rub her hand. And the woman went, ugh! And now I wanted to push her away, and the Lord said, no, do not. He said, stand at the end of the bed and fold your arms. So I stood at the end of the bed and folded my arms. And she did it again, and a woman went, oh, and the Lord said to me, my children are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and this woman is the temple of serpents. When he said that to me, my eyes opened up in the spirit realm, and I saw a cup of serpents. And every time she went to go touch her, that serpent went and bit her. Bit her. And every time he bit her, she would go, oh. And man, I was like, whoa. This was wild. Why? Because those serpents bite us. And you don't even realize it. They impart a poison. They impart a corruptible seed. Hello? Then people wonder why they are the way they are. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And verse 11. It says, a serpent may bite when it is not charmed. The babbler is no different. Hello. Did you ever talk to someone who can't shut up? He's just spewing out poison. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. The words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and at the end of his talk is raving madness. So we see here that even the serpent will use individuals of what they speak to impart. They actually bite. They'll come right out of their mouth and bite an individual. Go to Psalms 140. That's why the Word tells us that we'll be judged by our words. And out of your mouth is life or death. You can be critical. You got a critical spirit, you're spitting out poison. Lion spirit spits out poison. Psalm 140. Psalm 140. Verses 1 through 3. He says, "Deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who will plan evil things in their hearts. They continually gather together for war. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of ass is under their lips." So that's poison, isn't it? Did you ever notice how the devil sets trends? One of the big trends was to pierce someone's tongue. Well, the serpent has a pierced tongue. Hello? When people do that, they bring a curse on themselves because they're actually imitating the serpent. Go to Numbers 21. Hallelujah. Numbers 21. Listen, I can't help that the Lord revealed all these things to me. I mean, praise God. A lot of things manifested. I remember one time I was counseling with someone in my living room. And I shared this before. And he had a little girl, little daughter. He came to live with us. She was only about 2. And as I was counseling with him, the Christian TV was on. I kept wanting to shut it off and go to bed. And every time I would get ready to pick it up, the Holy Spirit come upon me and I couldn't do it again. And every time I try to pick it up and shut it off so I could say, okay, it's time to go home, I couldn't do it again. The next thing I know, the snake manifests underneath my couch, underneath my coffee table, right in front of my eyes. Of course, I, you know, got rid of it. And I knew it came from him. And we were praying and stuff, and then all of a sudden I went around a corner and there was a baby one, and I knew it came from his daughter. Because God was doing something. There was a time when I went in my back room and all of a sudden I saw a snake in the corner. And the thing went after me, tried to get me. So I got a shovel. And you could hear him hit the shovel. Bing, 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 bing. He was bouncing off the shovel and I knew who he came from. I knew exactly the Holy Spirit revealed to me. And I waited for the person to come home that night. And I knew what was going on. It was about somebody who was in our program that fell, and that serpent came from him, and I killed it. And when that person came home, of course he lied and whatever, but then he finally told the truth that he blew it. I'm telling you, in the spirit realm, it's totally different than in this realm. Those serpents will come up and bite you, and you don't even know it. The Bible says when two or more are gathered together in the name of the Lord, Jesus is there. When two or more are gossiping, Satan is there. You're touching and agreeing with things. Yeah, man, this person, this is what's in there. Let me tell you, the serpent just took hold of you and he's in you. And he's going to use you to spew out criticism, accusation, because he's the accuser and so forth. Plant corruptible seed. In Numbers 21 and verse 4. Now the Jews were in the wilderness. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very what? Discouraged on the way. Let me tell you, discouragement is an open door for demonic activity. When you are discouraged, the devil is there. He's already thrown the seeds of discouragement. Now he wants to eat you up. When you're down, he doesn't come and pet you. When you're down, he shoots now no more darts. He shoots missiles because he wants to wipe you out. And this is what happened. And the people spoke against God and against Moses, his servant. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no food, no water, this, that, whatever. Woe is me, and I left my car. In verse 6, so the Lord sent fiery what? Serpents. He sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. Many of the people of Israel died. So the Lord's, what had happened? These serpents that were in the spirit realm, God manifested in the natural realm, and they bit the people, and they began to die. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who has been bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on the pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. And that's the same symbol as a medical symbol now, okay, that you see on the ambulances. That's where they got it from. It's biblical. So when people looked at it, they got healed when they got bit. That's the same thing about Jesus being on the cross, because he was going to take the sins of mankind and become the serpent for me and you. That's why you and I can be healed now. Hallelujah. It was the shadow of Jesus to come. Go to Isaiah 14. Hallelujah. Everybody all right? Isaiah 14. There have been many times I've prayed for people and I've actually seen the snake leave them. Sometimes it looked like a huge amoeba leave them. Even in Friday night services, I can pray for people and sometimes I'll see that spirit come right out of them and go. There was one time I had a guy come and visit. And him and his girlfriend came, and I began to pray for him. The power of God hit him. He went down in the living room, and I saw this serpent just nonchalantly leaving him. And he just angered me, because I was like, how dare you just move slowly in my house? And I shared with him, move in the name of Jesus and get out of here. But this was in the spirit. He was not manifested in the natural realm. I saw him in the spirit, or I would have beheaded him. Little vermin. Isaiah 14. One time I was praying for an individual on service, and some of you might have been there, and that individual started acting just like a snake. And spewing out all kinds of stuff. Right in the front while I was praying for him, and that person turned right into a snake. Oh, hallelujah. It was a while ago. Isaiah 14 and verse 28. This is the burden which came in the year that King Uzziah died. Do not rejoice, all of you, Philistia, because the rod that struck you is broken. For out of the serpent's roots will come forth a what? Viper. And its offsprings will be a fiery flying serpent. The firstborn of the poor will feed, the needy will die down, will lie down in safety, and I will kill your roots with famine, and it shall slay your remnant. Ooh. Serpent wants to produce offsprings. He wants to use individuals. Some of the offsprings of the serpent spiritually are known as vipers. Okay? I'm going to show you how they're used. Go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Oh, hallelujah. Proverbs 23 and verse 29. Proverbs 23. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? And who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine, those who go in the search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last it bites like a what? serpent, and stings like a what? Like a viper. Whoa. Your eyes will see strange things. Your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you'll be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, they struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink? So we see that alcohol is known as an accursed item. You know, when John the Baptist came in, he came neither drinking nor eating. Amen? He was on a special diet. He didn't drink no booze. Didn't touch it, right? Now people go, well, Jesus, he drank once in a while. Let me tell you something. Jesus was never got drunk in his life. Hello? He wasn't out to drink. He hung around with them. Why? Because he was out to save them. He said he didn't come for those who weren't sick. He came for those who were sick, who needed a physician for salvation. Jesus had come not just out partying with these individuals. He walked into with them when they were partying and changed their lives. Is everybody with me? He was not a drunkard. So we see that here. So the devil, even with alcohol, the devil loves to have access to an individual. I was told today about a brother that was telling us about his pastor used to be in witchcraft. And he was in charge of all the idols, all the statues and stuff. And he would put them in this one room, and he would get cigarettes and put it in a bowl, and he would get rum or something, some strong liquor, and put it in another bowl. And they would light all the candles. And so he used to do this all the time. One day he went in there and did it. And while he was in there, he saw the liquor go all the way down to nothing. And then the cigarettes being puffed and like somebody was smoking. All at one time freaked him out. He ran out. Those are accursed things. People think, let me tell you something. Cigarettes are an accursed item. They draw demonic activity. They allow. It blows my mind that believers are still smoking cigarettes because they're blinded. And the serpent is in them. It's called the spirit of nicotine, and I cast them out all the time. I've seen one of them run around this living room right here when I cast one out. I've seen a deaf and dumb spirit jump from one wall to the other very quickly in the spirit realm. Ugly looking thing. They can be like human stature. They can be like animal stature. They can be like a figure you've never seen before in the spirit realm. Hello? Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 3. Matthew chapter 3. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, to God be the glory. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7, I think. No, 4. 4. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Now he was not eating a bug. Locust was a nut. So he wasn't going... It was not a delicacy. Okay, they were nuts. They were like a cashew that grows. It's called locusts. Okay, that's where they got nuts and honey. Hallelujah. Verse 5. Some of you got it. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" So he called these Pharisees and Sadducees what? Vipers. Why? They were cursed. Hello? They were cursed, man. And the word viper is a representation of malicious or spiteful. That's a viper. Malicious or spiteful. That's why sometimes you might... Sometimes I call people a viper. Man, that person's a viper, man. It's an offspring of the serpent. Serpent's using that. Holly Ball, Luke 10, watch this. Luke 10. Oh, I got another quick story to tell you too. Luke 10. If I'm moving a little fast, I'm trying to get this in. That's why I'm moving a little fast. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. Now this is powerful. And Jesus said, now wait a minute, then the 70 returned with joy saying, Lord, even the what? Demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and on scorpions and on over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by means hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And let me share something with you. He just correlated spirits with serpents, didn't he? He said, I give you power over the enemy, but I give you power to tread upon the serpents and scorpions. He just acknowledged that serpents and scorpions are associated with spirits. Why, they're cursed, aren't they? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Psalm 91. Everybody ought to know this. Psalm 91. Hallelujah. In verse 9. And it says, because you have made the Lord, who is your refuge, even the Most High your what? Dwelling place. In other words, you're abiding in Him. No evil shall befall you. So there's a place where you must abide in Him where no evil will befall you. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you and keep you in all of your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And you shall what? Tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample under your foot. Amen? You shall trample these things. Praise God. Go to Mark 16. Mark 16. So if you see a serpent manifest in the service, don't panic. Hallelujah. We won't dance with it. I ain't going to that service. Ah, you wimp. God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. Amen. In verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will what? Cast out demons. Well, hallelujah. That's the first thing the Lord says you'll do. You've got to ask yourself, what's the last demons you cast out? Especially out of yourself. And they will speak with new tongues, and they will what? Take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, by no means hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. 2 Corinthians 11. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 11. The Bible tells us that we're to be wise as a serpent, because he had wisdom, and gentle as a dove. I was reading an article today or yesterday or whatever, and it was about this, these people were somewhere. Isn't that interesting? Anyways, I guess they were out in the fields or something, I don't know. Anyways, a poisonous snake had come, and this one girl shook it off. I think they were out ministering, or they were missionaries or something like that, I don't know. Anyways, one of them had a Bible there. And when they shook it off, this one girl shook it off and went on to the other girl. And they were frightened, and they shook it off, and the thing landed out on the Bible and died instantly. Instantly died. As soon as that serpent hit that Bible, it died instantly. I was like, praise you, Lord. See, Jesus knew he wanted this message to come forth, so he got me that article. Wade found it somewhere and brought it to me. As soon as that serpent hit the Bible, it died. You know, listen, look how many kids are on medication. You know what that's doing? Bringing serpents to them. See, one of the things that happened is a mind that is passive is open door. It's an open door. See, what the devil tries to do is bring the mind to where it becomes passive. In other words, nothing of God, no thought of, then he's got access. What did I say to go? 2 Corinthians? Chapter 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 3. Oh, hallelujah. But I fear lest somehow as a serpent, what? Deceived Eve by his craftiness so that your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And the simplicity is that you have dominion over all things. Go to 2 Timothy 2. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 23. Some of us are learning shorthand. It says, but avoid foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they generate what? Strife. Guess who just entered? And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by the devil to do the will of the devil. Amen? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Go to John 3. John chapter 3. In verse 9 through 15, Nicodemus answered Jesus and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And this is where Jesus was going to be. See, when Jesus was on the cross, he became the bronze serpent, where anyone who looks unto him will be healed. Why? Because he took all the sins of the world unto him and became the serpent. Okay? Praise God. So here we see the plan of redemption, reconciliation, and restoration was put into place. The plan of redemption, reconciliation, and restoration was put into place. Redemption for eternal life, redeem, reconciliation to God, and restoration for everything the Lord stole from you. I mean, that Jesus stole from you, that the Lord was restoring to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Glory to God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Are we in perilous times? You betcha. The Bible even tells us that more demonic activity will be released from hell, and God will allow it. Things will not get better, they will get worse. The world is going to get worse. It cannot get better. That's why God has brought you out of darkness. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Turn away. In verse 13 it says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned, and be assured of knowing from whom you have learned them, and from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, would you go to Revelation 12? Hallelujah. Revelation 12 and verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of God and the power of His Christ has come. For the accusing of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in the earth, and woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, because he didn't know he was cast to the earth yet, that's when he's got to come into the natural. He persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of as an eagle, great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth, swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. Who is the rest of her offspring? You, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Christ Jesus, or Jesus the Christ. Isaiah 65. I'll close here. Isaiah 65. Hallelujah. Isaiah 65 and verse 17. The Lord said, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. Hallelujah. And the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. So you won't even remember this. Hello? You won't remember all of this garbage anymore. You won't have any lusts, thoughts, hurts, pains of losing someone, nothing. You will not remember this life. You can thank God for that. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more shall an infant from the there live for only a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the children shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble, for they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offsprings with them. It shall come to pass that they, that before they call, I will answer. And while they still are speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. In other words, the lion is a flesh eater, but not anymore. And the dust shall be the serpent's food. Sometimes some things just don't change. They should remember us cursed, right? But it's not going to bite you no more. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all of my holy mountain, says the Lord. So we see that there will be a big change, won't there? Amen? There's going to be a big change. But in the meantime, you and I live in this natural arena, don't we? Amen? And in this natural arena, you've got to have wisdom and discernment. I had a call from somebody the other night. Talked for about 2 hours, and this person shared with me how he was riding on his bike, and this dog from nowhere came and grabbed him, ripped him off his bike, and tore into his elbow. And he said to me, "I don't understand it." Well, I told him why. He wasn't right with God. No protection. You can't do your will and expect to have protection from the Lord. Amen. I remember one time I was jogging, and all of a sudden I heard something galloping behind me. And I turned around, and there was this huge Rottweiler-like. At first, my carnal mind thought, "Wah!" And then the Holy Ghost kicked in and said, "Take your authority." And I said, "In the name of Jesus!" And this thing started skidding right before me. I mean, his feet were smoking, man. And I said, "In the name of Jesus!" My knees were a little shaking still, but took my authority and I said, "In the name of Jesus," I said it a couple times, and this thing just stopped and looked at me. And I just stared right at him. And he took off. I just pointed. And he left. I said, "Hallelujah." I didn't go around looking for dogs, no. Amen. God don't work that way. I don't go around looking for snakes either. But if they come across my path, they're dead. Hello? So don't bring any pet snakes. You know, one time, I got to tell this quick little story. One time, I shared some of this testimony, and we had this one guy that was here. Hallelujah. And next thing we know, I mean, some guys were working over here, and it was lunchtime. Next thing we know, this guy's running out with a butcher knife in each hand, going, "Whoa!" And he's chasing the snake. I mean, you know, he was a little excedra, you know, I mean, a little expressive. You know, it could have been a real simple thing, walk up and that would have been over with, you know. But no, he had to go, he's chasing his course, he's scaring the jeebies out of this snake, you know. This thing is running, he's giving him a full warning, and he's chasing the snake. Of course, he didn't catch him, and he put the knives down, and we had some explaining to do to the probation officer that was standing in the driveway. Hallelujah. You know, only God, you know. But God made way, you know. We tried to explain it. Never mind. He was chasing a hot dog, you know. Who knows? I don't know. No, we didn't say anything to him. We just let it go. He walked away a little strange, like, "Whoa. I don't think I'll recommend anybody to come here. These guys are nuts." Dude runs out of the house chasing a snake with two knives. He couldn't do it with one. You know? But anyways, praise God. Amen. Look, the important part of this message is that you begin to discern.